Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here today, and we're especially grateful to have our guys here, and they have some memory verses they'd like to share. So please, let's give them our attention. Good job. Thanks so much, guys, for coming to Sunday School today, and we'll dismiss you at this time. Again, welcome, and we want to begin with any announcements that we'd like to share with one another. You'll see some of these here on the back of your bulletin. Anyone have other announcements?
Yeah. I have 20. Are we awake?
Absolutely. Are you awake?
Yes. And I told Liam back in Sunday School, please don't talk, because everybody back there was asleep but Liam and Kelly. And I said, well, we got to wake them up. And he said, well, I can scream. I said, well, wait till I shut the door, because I don't want to wake up. But anyway. Okay. Cleaning schedule for the church. I think I announced this a couple weeks ago that we were going to try to cut expenses just as a precaution for now because of everything that's going on and different things. So as of the end of September, there will be no paid cleaning. So what we suggest is that you team up with a buddy and, like, you come in pairs of two and one do the sanctuary, one do the Sunday School and bathrooms, however you want to do. But if you're Mr. Clean and Stretch Armstrong, you can do it all. That's fine. Me, I'm not Stretch Armstrong. But anyway, so here's they do it every other week. It's not a weekly thing. Every other week. And like I said, you can pair up with teams. And I'm going to post it back there. If you pick a Sunday, if we all chip in, it shouldn't be so much on any couple of people. The Heifer Project job's back there, so you can put your donations in there for the Heifer Project. What Sunday? I don't even know what Sunday this is. How many Sundays?
This is the third one, but we have two more.
We have two more left. Okay. And some.
One more left.
Next Sunday. Okay. All right. Good. See, you can tell I'm retired now. I don't even know. I do know it's Sunday because I dressed to come to church. Now, some people have been giving me their shoe box orders for Weller. I will take them whenever you get them ready, and then I'm going to take them up and give them to Sandy, and then I'll collect the boxes for her when she's done and bring them back here to church for Pastor Tracy. One more thing. Oh. Love offering for Ronnie Zimmerman. This is we collected last Sunday, and we'll collect this Sunday. So if you brought your love offering for her, you can put it in that box back there. It has her name on it. I greatly appreciate it. Coming up, we are going to do a bake sale to raise money also for Ronnie. She's a single mom, and she's battling cancer. She's been through chemo, radiation, and now they're doing something called a cyber knife. So let's please keep her in our prayers, and if you can help in any way with bake sale, that would be greatly appreciated.
That's October 9th.
Right. I think that's all I have there.
Okay, great. Bob, you have an announcement?
One thing, Tracy. The BRF witness brochures are here. We used to get 20. And you know how many went to the trash can? 15. I'd like for everybody to pick up one if you would and just read it a little bit. It's got some valuable information. Put your back here on the rear bench. So avail yourself still. Like that. Now, my order right now is down to 10. I did cut it in half, so I didn't have so much waste. But anyhow, very good. Brochure to read and get vital information.
Thank you very much. Amen to that. Any other announcements?
Just so you know, we already have October filled in for cleaning. And one Sunday, 1 week in November for November. So we're on a roll.
Praise God. Okay. Let's begin our worship today, and as we do so, we'll look to Brother Jerry here for the prelude. Our call to worship comes from Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let's stand and join together in song, and then we'll have our prayer following the hymn. It is hymn number 144. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, it is good to be able to come into your house this day. And we thank you, Father, for the salvation that you give us through the Lord Jesus Christ and belief in him. And so we do, Lord, put our trust and faith in him, Lord. And we ask that you would move in this worship hour, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Lord, have your way in this time. Open the scriptures to us and touch our hearts and change our lives that we might serve you in the days to come. And we ask for your blessings, and we pray together in Jesus' name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We do want to appreciate all that the people are doing for us, and we're just especially grateful for your tithes and offerings. We still are not taking them up with ushers like we usually do, but we do still have the box there in the back, and so thank you for using that and giving your tithes and your offerings to the church. Those are certainly appreciated and very much needed. We want to take time to share together some news and joys and concerns, and so what is on your heart today?
We need to keep this, our country, the United States, and the leaders in our prayers, because they certainly need guidance by the good Lord.
Amen.
And I want to ask blessings upon all those that have been failing in health or having problems with health and acceptance. Bless them, each one of them.
Yes.
And I had one other thing. I've looked down here and I noticed there's a lot of apples on that tree out there. And it seems that it should not go to waste. So if anybody wants them, just want to let them know, go out there and help themselves.
Okay. Yeah, it's that time of the year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, Lynn?
I'd like to put Jerry, Larry, and Bob in the prayer.
Okay. All right. And others? Yes.
I want to continue Alan and Jenny and Ricky.
Thank you. With a number of people who are not here today because of illness, and so we want to keep them lifted up in prayers.
Tracy, I'd like to keep my unspoken request on there, as well as Mom forgot to mention herself, so keep Mom.
Yes. Any others? Well, let's take time to pray together. I invite you to come before the Lord. If you'd like to kneel, you may do so. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message this morning by Dr. David Jeremiah and the relevancy of the church. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd help us to give you glory. And so we praise you, Lord, for all that has gone on this past week and your many blessings to us. And so, Lord, we just want to be mindful of that we are recipients of your love and your grace. We know, Lord, there's so many things that are going on in our world today. And so big decisions need to be made by those in positions of authority. And so we pray, Lord, that you would grant them wisdom and direction and guidance. Surround them with good, godly counselors. Pray that the decisions they make would be able to help us to live in peace. And so, Father, we just ask that you would move in so many of the different situations that are going on in our country and in others right now, Lord. Those that have lost everything with the fires out west. For the firefighters, they're trying to put out the fires. We thank you, Lord, for those who are helping recover from hurricanes and from flooding. And just seems like so many different battles that are being placed in the west and the south and the northeast. And so, Lord, we just ask you would move in a mighty way, provide, meet needs, and help those that are helping others. Lord, we think of the earthquake in Haiti and places around the world that are experiencing unrest like Myanmar. We just ask, Lord, that you would just have your way. Keep believers safe in these areas. Lord, we are mindful of the blessing of health, especially when we don't have it. And so we just pray you would continue to move in the needs of those who are not here today but wanted to be. We pray, Father, that you would bless the Free family. We pray, Father, that you would bless the Baker family. We ask, Lord, that you would just touch each person that's on our list, especially Jerry's list. And we pray, Father, you would move in the needs of those that especially need a special touch of your hand this week. I pray for my friend Austin, who's going through cancer. So many others, Lord, that are experiencing cancer and this COVID. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help those in the front lines, those that are serving, our nurses, our doctors, be with our police and our firemen, all who are reaching out in the community and helping in areas of need. We pray for a hedge protection to be around them. God, we ask that you would just touch those that have had surgeries, that they might fully recover. We pray, Father, for the tremendous needs overseas. And Lord, we pray for your comfort. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would comfort those who are shut in because of age or health problems, Lord. We want to continue to remember Elaine Brown. We pray, Lord, for Debbie Eiler. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Velma. Others' names, Lord, that we have lifted up here in the past, that we ask, Lord, that you would touch them. Bless their families. We want to pray, Lord, for those who are serving. And so bless Elijah and Caleb. Pray for Ashley and Hunter and others who serve. Be with those that are in positions of command. We think of our local leaders, our governors, our mayors, our pastors and church leaders, our deacons, our Sunday school teachers. We think of the beginning of school, Lord, and so pray that you would keep teachers and students safe. Help them to have an environment where they can learn in. We ask your blessings, Lord, on missionaries home and abroad. We thank you, Lord, for this fall season. When the fruit of the trees is ready for harvest, when the crops in the field are ready to be brought in, Lord, thank you, and we pray, Lord, that there would be bounty for all. God, you've been a good God. You have provided in the past, and we know that you will provide in the future. So bless the church, Lord. Help us to glorify you. Help us to share the great commandment. Help us to love one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn to our hymn number 297. And would you join me in standing? And we'll share together in this song.
Yeah.
Our scripture reading for today comes from the lectionary one, Mark chapter 9, and I'll be reading verses 30 to 37. Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we just ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds would indeed be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And so help us, Lord, to see your conversation with your disciples in a new light, we pray in your name. Amen. "Thank you for your service" is an expression that we are hearing more and more these days, especially when people encounter someone who is in the military. With all that's going on in the world today and the risks that one takes, these are worthy sentiments to express our appreciation for the sacrifices that are being made. Sincere gratitude also is expressed not only to those in the military, but hopefully to the waiter or waitress at our favorite restaurant, to the pilot who successfully lands the plane at our destination, to the doctor after an operation, maybe to the electrician or plumber who comes to repair things in our home, or the first responder, the firefighter, for their help. To them all, we say, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service, I think, also should be heard in the church. Our work for Jesus is one we do together as the body of Christ, the big C, as Dr. Jeremiah has explained today. Each one of us has a task and a role to play in our ministry here on the Ridge. In fact, as a smaller congregation, we cannot survive without the efforts of all of you who volunteer to do what needs to be done. Example, cleaning schedule. I want to take this opportunity to say a sincere gratitude. I am thankful for what you do for us here at Monocacy Church of the Brethren. And so thank you for your service. Serving is, I think, so essential and so vital and so important today. Serving has reached, I think, a high point in our society as a value. It has not always been that case. For some, maybe for the very wealthy, they might look down on people who serve, butlers or maids. But many on the lower end of the spectrum have to work long hours at menial jobs just to get by and to make a living. And while we like the idea of serving and we like to volunteer when we can, we sometimes would recoil or reject if anyone called us a slave. It's not in too distant past in our time, especially around the time when this church was built, we fought a civil war over the institution of slavery. Many people in the South still depended at that time on the labor of African Americans to harvest the crops, the cotton and tobacco, and yet the human spirit wanted to be free, and it prevailed. And if we go back further into history, for centuries, slavery existed and civilizations flourished. Slaves built the pyramids of Egypt. They pulled the oars of many of the ships that rowed across the oceans. They dug mines. They served their masters until they died. At the time of Jesus in the Roman Empire, when the Bible was written, most of the people alive were slaves. Now I want you to think about that. Most of the population was slaves. They were indebted to someone. And they worked not a five-hour week, but they worked 7 days a week just to survive. Now, not all the masters were cruel, and some treated their slaves like family. And in the rare case that if you had a good master and you wanted to work off your debt, and you did, you could be set free. However, if you really liked your position, you liked your master, and you wanted to continue to serve him, you could request to stay with that family. And then the master would take you over to the door and the post of the door, and he would take an awl and put your ear up against the door, and he would pierce your ear. And that was a sign that you were a free slave, but you remained with your master. A piercing of the ear was the real meaning of that. As Christians, we represent Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do so to those around us, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, and to the world. We accept and appreciate the concept of service, and we often volunteer for tasks. The word servant is acceptable to us. And we say that the minister is a servant of the Lord. The deacons get their titles from the New Testament word for the one who serves. And yet, we still would reject the idea of being called a slave. we really wouldn't say that we're enslaved to anyone or anything. We're free, especially in the American mentality. And so the word slave has a negative connotation to it, and it also wounds our pride. Doulos is the Greek word for bond slave, and it's used for 100 times in the New Testament to indicate servitude labor, and in a doctrinal sense, our identification with Jesus, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul. So I suggest that the word slave maybe needs to be reintroduced to our vocabulary today as a positive word, one that we would claim as a title, as a bond slave of Jesus. Along with believer and follower, there are popular titles today, a believer of Christ, a follower of Jesus, but also a bond slave, a slave of Jesus. So I'd like for us to take a look at this lectionary scripture for today from the Gospel of Mark, and consider servanthood. Now for brethren, this is one of our hallmarks. As brethren, this is what we're known for as a denomination. Our church is a small denomination, but on the world scene, we're known as those who serve. And oftentimes at the table where various denominations gather, we're asked to lead in the feet washing. This is one of the things that we're known for, and to serve in areas, especially in disaster work. But y'all, I want you to take a look at the scriptures today and notice, first of all, where it takes place. This is in the beautiful northern region of Israel. It is the green Galilean region around the Sea of Galilee, and it is the headquarters where Jesus has his ministry, Capernaum. This house that they go into probably is Peter's, and this is the place where Peter's mother-in-law was healed of fever, and it is the place where they gather, and Jesus is gathering his disciples here. They've been on tour, if you will. They've been walking through the 10 cities of the Decapolis, and now they're coming back to Capernaum, and they gather together in this home, the ruins of which you can still see. Also notice that this conversation is taking place between just the 12 disciples. And it is right after the transfiguration, on the Mount. And remember, Peter and John saw Jesus transfigured there, so they got a glimpse of who he really was and his divinity. And then also there have been many healings, and particularly right before this conversation is the healing of the man's son of an unclean spirit. And he's able to speak and talk again, and this is done in front of a large crowd of people. And so Jesus wants to draw away for a moment. He wants to pull the disciples aside, and he heads to Capernaum. They pass through Galilee to Capernaum. I have with me a book here that our tour guide recommended. It's called The Holy Land. It has wonderful pictures in it here of many of the places in Israel. But I just wanted to show very quickly, and I know it's hard to see from back there. This is just an overall view of Capernaum, and particularly I wanted you to see the church, the synagogue, where Jesus would have preached. Foundation you can still see is a dark stone. This would have been the synagogue where Jesus preached, and this is a reconstruction of the first century synagogue there in Capernaum, the headquarters of Christ. And the site where Peter's home is, there is now a church over that. There's this octagon shape. It looks like a spaceship has landed. but there is this a church that is set over the house, and it's an octagon shape, a worship place for people to gather today. In Roman times, Capernaum was a very wealthy Jewish town, not very large, but wealthy. And so they had this synagogue there. This was probably the most elaborate synagogue in the region, in the area. And as their custom, they built it facing towards Jerusalem. Peter's home probably was a number of stone rooms, not very big, with a central courtyard and some wooden structures over for shelter. Jesus enters this place, this right along the Sea of Galilee, a beautiful spot to share with his disciples. On the way there, he says that the Son of Man is going to be delivered up, betrayed by men, and would be killed, and then on the third day rise again. And they're a little bit perplexed about this. They don't quite understand what is he talking about? Isn't he the Messiah? He's the one who does these marvelous miracles, and he's talking about dying? And so they didn't say anything to him for fear that they would look dumb. But Jesus is indicating here that he's not going to be handed over just to the Jews or just to the Romans, but really, in a sense, to all humanity, is going to be responsible for his death. Notice in verse 32 here that the disciples don't quite understand. And I suspect that if we were them, we'd be afraid to ask him too. How many times have we been afraid to speak up? Maybe in a classroom setting, or maybe at work. A boss tells you something, you don't quite get it, and so you ask your co-workers instead of your boss, what did he mean? And so we would be maybe a little bit in their shoes. Maybe we would be completely wrong in our understanding of what he meant, as they were. And on the way there, they're excited because Jesus has just done some of these miracles, you know. They saw this demonic boy on the ground, and then in his right mind healed, and so they were really excited, and you know, so they're talking about the messianic kingdom, and you know, what role they might play in it, and I bet I'm going to be sitting next to Jesus on his throne, and so Jesus questions them, what was you talking about on the road here? What were you discussing and arguing about? And Jesus already knew what was on their minds. A show of divinity. Jesus understood what they were thinking, but he didn't hear them literally, but he knew what was in their hearts. And they kept silent. Now, the way the scripture is written here, it says that they probably kept on being silent. Jesus questioned them. He probably asked them more than once, what were you guys talking about? What were you guys arguing about? And they disputed about who would be the greatest. And it probably at that point, being together in the house, sitting down facing Jesus, it probably seemed pretty childish. And so they kept quiet. They were ashamed to reveal the unworthy subject of their discussion. And he was trying to explain his coming death, and they just weren't getting it. Their minds were preoccupied with personal greatness about what would happen in the Messianic kingdom to come. And so Jesus makes this great statement about those that desire to be first, they have to be willing to be last. And they have to be willing to be servant of all. If you're going to argue over who's the greatest, then think about who's the one that's willing to serve. Who's the one that's willing to be last? Who's the one that's able to help others? Now, if you think about who comes to your mind when you think about a servant, when you think about someone who's great, who comes to your mind? I immediately thought about Mother Teresa, giving her life to the poor of India. Maybe you might think of a parent. Might have been a father or a mother who worked long hours so that you could go to college or you could do this or that or provide for the family. People who serve, don't they really get our greatest appreciation? Aren't those the ones that we look up to? And so Jesus then, as a way of bringing a live illustration to his disciples, in order to get his point across, he brings in a child. He sets the child right in the midst of them, and then he gathers them up, gives them a hug to demonstrate his idea of who's the greatest. We should recognize that children in that day didn't have any social standing. They didn't have any status or legal rights. We would automatically think about the characteristic of children is their innocence. But this isn't what they would automatically think. They would first think about their social status and their standing, their lack of legal rights. They were there in the home, but they really were nobody. And yet children weren't concerned about their position in society. Children like to play, and they'll play with usually anyone, and they'll often play very humbly with others. And so Jesus here is emphasizing humility as a characteristic of those who are willing to be a servant. Dr. Stanley says, Jesus has in mind the humility of little children and their unconcern for social status or public opinion. He encourages us to place childlike trust in him, regardless of what others may think. Are we worried about what others will think of us? And then in verse 37, notice, Jesus gives us this wow statement. He said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You know, God the Father loves it when we, as his children, are childlike, not childish. He loves it when we're childlike, when we put our trust and we humble ourselves like a child. God loves that. And so when we're in a relationship with God, we won't be worried about social status. We won't be worried about what others think or public opinion. We won't be self-centered in our behavior or seeking our own rights and our rewards. But instead, we will be serving, fulfilling our responsibilities. And isn't it great to have children? It's great to have children here in our Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. I love it that we have our kids come forward and give their memory verse. I don't know of very many churches that do that. This was the only church that I know of in the district that does that, to have the kids come and share before the congregation. The most important thing that we are be teaching them is the Word of God. And so they teach us, right? They teach us the importance of that. I love it when we have opportunities to give to children, like Operation Christmas Shoeboxes. Wonderful way to reach out to kids. Wycliffe Bible Commentary says, "The humble act of receiving one child in Christ's name is a deed of true greatness. It is this willingness to take the lowly position of service, even to a child in arms, which is the mark of genuine stature. For to do so is to render service to Christ and through him to the Father. This involves the humbling of oneself as a little child. To be a child of the King is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it is believing on the Lord that we become a member of the family of God. And then as children of the kingdom, I think we want to serve. We're willing to serve. We're happy to serve. And instead of being first, we're happy to be last. We're humble enough to be last and to be the servant of all. Humility characterizes those who genuinely desire to serve Christ in his kingdom. The disciple should esteem himself a servant, one who willingly attends to menial tasks and eagerly receives children without recognition or reward." And so servanthood and brotherhood and discipleship really have all gone hand in hand together for the brethren. We believe that as a church, that the church, not government, should take care of our needy members. And so we assume that responsibility. When we see others in need, we reach out. Our history has been one of relief and service. In 1865 and 1866, annual meeting records that they approved a collection of funds to aid those who were suffering from the effects of the Civil War, regardless of race. Relief work assisted missionaries in India and China at the turn of the century and after World War I. BVS began, and CPS programs were popular at that time, and our Brethren Service Center at New Windsor was established in 1944 to help with disaster here and abroad. Organizations like Heifer International, used to be called Heifer Project International, was started by the Brethren, and they sent cows and aid following World War II. Church World Service, CROP, CARE, all of these organizations help the brethren to give, to volunteer, and to serve the needy. And currently, our disaster work in this country and overseas gives us opportunities to go and to do, to clean, to help, and to repair. And there is much work for us to do in the days ahead. I want to put a plug in here for the disaster auction that's coming up. It is at Westminster, and it is Saturday, November the 13th. Usually it's held in the spring, but because of COVID, it wasn't held last year, and they postponed it until November of this year. And so I want to encourage you to attend. As a district, the 60-some churches in our area have gone together, and we've raised usually $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year to help with disaster efforts. And so we need your help again this year. And so I hope that you'll give, you'll go, support. And it's a wonderful time, opportunity to see other brethren in the district as well. You know, given our history and our desire to help and to serve, what will our service look like after the year ahead, after COVID-19? How will our continued service look? It might be less hands-on or less in-person, but with social distancing, with face covering and hand washing, we can still do a lot of things that we can do to help others. What are some ways that you could serve today? Well, there's lots of agencies and organizations that need volunteers, all kinds of things that you can do, from the rescue mission to CareNet, stuffing envelopes for mailings, reaching out, doing all kinds of things, lots of ways that we can volunteer. Serve meals to the homeless. You know, it really puts a face to the cause when you're dishing up food and putting it on the plate of the person standing in front of you and you look them eye to eye. We can give some time to help with shelter or help the food bank, handing things out. You might even want to consider going to work a week at disaster and cleaning up and repairing following flooding. There's the shoeboxes that you can do for a child somewhere in the world. It might be their only Christmas that they've ever gotten something. You could take a turn cleaning our church. You could make phone calls to shut-ins. You can send cards to the sick. You can help a neighbor. Do whatever you can, wherever you can, in as many ways as you can, to make our world a better place to live in. I love this new hymn that came out in the Brethren Hymnal. It is entitled, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? I'm not going to try to sing it, but I will share the words here. Five short verses. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ-like for you in the nighttime of your fear. I will hold your hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. There's a story that's told of a school of theology out in Kansas City who was seeking a new president. And they had over 100 candidates to choose from. And as they were going through which candidates might be good for this position, they narrowed it down finally to 5 finalists. And someone on the select committee had a bright idea. They said, let's go to these 5 places where they're already serving and talk to the janitor and see what he thinks of them. And so they did so. And after they had visited the 5 places, there was one janitor who spoke very highly of one of the candidates. And so that's the one that they chose. And it was important to them that the people that they select to run their school would not have the errors of society, worried about power or money or position, but instead would have equal dignity to all. And so they wanted everyone to be treated as a VIP. And, you know, I think children are like that, aren't they? They treat people on a face value. And maybe it's something that we as adults need to relearn. How to treat others. How to care for one another. Our desire as a Christian should be to be a servant of all. To literally be a slave of Jesus. How that plays out in our world today is yet to be seen. But to be a slave, to remember Jesus himself, the one that we lift up, the one that we look to, our Lord and our Savior, he said that he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the role model, that's the goal, that's the example that we have. And so I think that we should gratefully accept the title of slave, slave of Jesus. As a high mark of who we are. A believer of Christ, a follower of Jesus, a child of the King, a servant of all, a slave of Jesus. Do you want to be great? Leave a lasting impression on others? Desire to serve. Serve them. To be a slave of Jesus. Are you willing to do something for anyone? Serve as you're doing it unto him. As a slave of Jesus. Do you have a childlike attitude, not worried about public opinion or social status? We don't want to let the standards of this world, post-COVID, to be our guide, to push us into its mold. But instead, we want to be a servant of all, to be a slave of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, brothers, regardless of age, of position, or of economy, to continue to serve in whatever ways you can. Serve where and when and how you can. In advance, let me say thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And yes, brothers and sisters, we are slaves. We are slaves of Jesus. And we are a servant of all. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for receiving us as your children, that you allowed us to put our faith and trust. You have opened our eyes to who Jesus is, the Son of Man and the Son of God. And Lord, we thank you for this illustration from the conversation that he had with his 12 disciples. And we ask, Lord, that you may help us to humbly serve all who you put into our path. And so, Lord, help us not to contend for greatness or position or status, but service. Give us, Lord, the courage to say yes to servanthood, to yes to being your slave. Help us, Lord, to be a servant of all. Let your will be done in our lives, in our families, and in our church, and in our world today. And we pray in your name. Amen. I'd like to close our service with the singing of number 330. Would you join me in standing? Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and be with you always. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly halls. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a good week.